Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Oh yeah, oh, she's getting the joke already. Yep, that's the song that we're playing today. Well, good morning everybody, and welcome in. We've got a full house today. Happy Saturday to all of you. We've got Steve Silva, Oz Davis, Caitlin, producer Casey.
Good morning.
And I am Sean Roberts, and this is your Weekly Dose podcast.
Thank you for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. Now, if you're new to your Weekly Dose, this program is about having fun. We recap our past week experiences and enlighten your day through laughter.
Oh, what a week it's been. That's right, Steve. Laughing at all the things we experience in everyday life, the embarrassments, the silly things, the awkward things, even the things we're afraid to talk about, but we still do.
You know, the things that connect us all, the things that make us human. And as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
And to all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are part of the show and join the conversation. You can do it several ways. Comment on each of our episodes on our website at yourweeklydose.com.
Send us a message via Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at Your Weekly Dose.
Or if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
And boy, we've got a show for you guys today. We'll be doing catching up. We got horoscopes, when autocorrect goes wrong. And of course, we'll be talking about what's happened this past week.
Yeah, something happened.
I don't know what it is. I can't think of it. I really don't know. I'm trying to figure it out, but we'll figure it out together. So, yeah. And, of course, we got 1045. We got sports with Oz. And, yeah, we'll see how it goes from there, basically. So.
There you go. You know, you can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, you can subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose. And most importantly, tell the world what you think of us. So please rate and review the show.
And of course, today's theme song is Love's a Slap in the Face by Kiss for obvious damn reasons. We're keeping the trend going, folks. Yes, we are. And remember, guys, any music that we play on our show, you can always get it from our main sponsor, which is Amazon. Just go to yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark it and shop to your heart's delight. And that way, every time you guys shop, we get a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and that helps us stay on the air. So make sure you guys please do that and get all your songs, all your materials, anything you want, you can get it on Amazon.
I'm a slap in the face.
Oh, yeah.
You're a slap in the face. This whole show's a slap in the face.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah, it's so funny. I'm not really that big of a Kiss fan. I have seen Kiss, though, but I'm not a huge, huge Kiss fan. But there is one song off their Crazy Nights album that I thought was really cool, which was a song called A Reason to Live. And I just thought it's a really, really neat song. It's like one of my few favorite Kiss songs, you know. And I had when I was working at Guitar Center, though, I had a manager there. The store manager was like a huge huge Kiss fan. I mean, like Kiss Army kind of a guy or whatever. Like his cell phone had Kiss on it, and when he had a Kiss skateboard and stuff, and you know what have you. And we would always tease him, you know, like, oh yeah, they're such great songwriters. You know, like Love Gun. You know, who put the X in sex? You know, kind of thing. Plaster Caster. I'm like, oh my God, those are such memorable songs. You know,
I like the Boots.
The Boots. That's
yeah,
what you like.
I love the Boots. Yeah. I love them.
I think the only thing that I remember way back when, and I think Oz might remember this too. I know the ladies won't because they're too young. But Kiss actually did a movie.
Oh yeah,
about something, the Phantom of the Carnival or something, whatever. Because as a young kid, I thought these guys were like evil, you know, because of the makeup and stuff, whatever.
Really?
I didn't know anybody. Wow. You know?
Well, there was a rumor going around that Kiss stood for Knights in Satan's Service.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, it wasn't until that movie came out where I personally went, oh, they're okay. They're kind of good guys.
Really?
Because
they had trading cards, man. And for me, once you got trading cards, man, that was it. You're on my team, because I collected all of them. Star Wars cards, the Lee Majors, the $6 million man cards.
What is the most unique card collection that you have then, Oz?
Oh, I don't have any nowadays, but...
When you were, though, I mean...
When I was... what was the most unique one? Oh, wow. There were some crazy ones. The ones that people remember, of course, are Wacky Packages. Uh-huh. Do you remember those?
No,
I don't. Yeah, it was like the parodies of household products.
Oh, yes, I do remember those.
Right.
So we would get it from the ice cream guy.
Yeah, those we all loved, I remember. But those, the ones that they made about series and stuff were so fly by night that I'm sure I can't remember most of them. I do remember really loving my $6 million man cards.
I didn't even know that they had $6 million man cards.
I was totally into that show.
I love
that show. And then I was just barely getting out of the habit when the A-Team came out. Mm. And they had the A-Team cards. So I had a bunch of those as well. That's how I knew Kiss. Before I was listening to their music, or before I heard the music, I was collecting the cards. I saw the Phantom of the Carnival movie.
Yeah, that was. But it was funny.
They were superheroes.
But that's what made me change my viewpoint about Kiss. And I kind of went, well, okay, well, let me listen to their music at that point, you know. And then I heard Plaster Caster. Mom, what does this mean? And she had to ask my dad. So I don't know.
You still don't know.
I still don't know to this day. Plaster Caster. I had to look it up. I had to Google it. 30 years later, I had to Google it. Oh, my God. Wow. You know.
Nobody knows what it means, but it's provocative.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sitting here looking at this. You can buy Kiss boots online.
Oh, yeah.
And there's one called Demonia. Yeah. And the other one's called Stomp You Out.
I gotta say, out of all the different bands that have product out there, Kiss has got everything.
Yeah,
everything from the boots to coffins.
Coffins?
Oh yeah, there's a Kiss coffin. You can be buried in a Kiss coffin. I remember one time seeing Gene Simmons at the NAMM show, which is a convention for musical instruments, and. This kid walks up to Gene Simmons and wanted him to try out this pick or whatever. And Gene just looked at him and says, kid, if it's not making me money, I don't even want to try it. And that was it, and just walked away. I mean, he was like pure business, you know.
But do you know, I've got a great story about him being pure business. Okay, he wanted Parker Brothers to make a Monopoly game based on Kiss.
Yeah.
Right? And they wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. Right? So here's what he did. He went out and he copyrighted a drawing of that money bag with the dollar sign on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that had never been copyrighted before. He copyrighted that image and then he threatened to sue Parker Brothers for using that image in the Monopoly game. And so they made his Kiss game.
Wow.
Oh, how funny. Yeah.
Isn't that a great story? Kevin Smith tells that story one time.
Wow.
That's what he He carries around this picture of that drawing, of that bag with the dollars on it.
That's funny.
He goes, you want to know how to make a lot of money? And he shows it to Kevin Smith and he tells him that
story. There you go. Exactly. Copyright.
Wow.
He's a clever dude.
Copyright. Clever dude. No, they are. I mean, as far as the business is concerned, I mean, yeah, I mean, they've, like I said, they've got every product you can think of. I mean, like I said, everything from condoms to the
ew.
Yeah, seriously, Kiss condoms.
Oh, sure, why not?
to the what I said earlier, the
coffins
to mugs, you know, to the typical things,
given,
or whatever.
Given the demographics of the fans, they might be better off with Kiss Viagra.
Well, nowadays, yeah.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
And canes and walkers and right. wheelchairs and everything else, too, that goes along with. Because the army's slowly going down, I'll tell you that right now. So, well, they're getting older is what it is.
Yeah.
So, and of course, they're still on their farewell tour for the last 25 years. It's like, say goodbye really? Already. I think they finally, yeah. I think COVID helped, you know.
Damn, I bet it did.
You know, I think COVID helped with it. I'm not too sure. So, we'll find out. You know, if not, they're going to say, hey, we're saying goodbye one more time. It's like, no, just go. Just go away. Anyway, all right. Should we catch up? Should we?
Boy, the show just died right there.
I guess so.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I touch that. The but pad and it just like
it doesn't go off yet.
Doesn't touch. I'm like, are my fingers real?
Am I in a simulation?
Kaylin, how was your week?
It was good, yeah. It was our spring break this week, so I missed my theater friends, but a couple of us went out to breakfast, so that was really fun to see them.
Breakfast is good.
Yeah, breakfast is good. And then the other day that I had off, I woke up, I went to get Vietnamese coffee.
Ooh.
Caitlin on coffee.
Oh my.
Except that, so I got the Vietnamese coffee, right? And like, my whole thing of the day was I was going to sit down and study. I did anything, but I got the coffee.
And took off.
Yep.
Never came back until today.
I got the coffee. I did like, I was the most productive person in the world. I just didn't do my homework. I did everything else but my homework. I went out and I got things done. And then at the end of the day.
But the homework.
And then I even went to another coffee shop and I got another cup of coffee.
To bring it down?
No.
Oh.
There you go. That's where I was going with that.
Yeah. I went to
gotta wean you off is what it is.
I went to another coffee shop. I got another cup of coffee. And, like, sat down. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do my homework. And then I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to go home and learn a Scottish accent. So I just left the coffee shop. And I went home and I was like, I'm going to start learning. And then, I started doing another three other things. And, yeah, I think that about sums me up. Starting with one task and then just going off on, like, 10 different other tasks.
That tends to happen when I write. I'll get to a point where I need to think of something or look something up, and then I spend the next 4 hours researching that thing I was looking up.
Oh, yeah. That's the curse. Yeah. That's the curse of writing. Go ahead, get everything off your schedule, get home, put everybody away, you know, get everything out of the way, and then start cleaning.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Oz, how was your week?
I can even go off of that even more. For young writers, the best thing that you can have is a deadline.
Because
you produce. That's the thing. You forget all the distractions because you have to produce by that deadline. So it's been 2 weeks since we talked last. I wanted to say I did nothing but write. So I wanted to bring in my stats.
Mm-hmm.
88 pages of scripts for my audio drama.
Nice.
I wrote 2,200 words on NFL football betting and history, and I wrote 2,200 words on the Space Force.
Well, you go, sports
man. Various occupations.
I'm
yeah,
so
Space
excited.
Force.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome, dude.
I'm gung ho Space Force, very pro
so
Space Force.
I got a lot of work done. So there's a couple of weeks now. There's going to be a break in the clouds. Mm-hmm. A couple of weeks.
Casey, how was your week?
Actually, it was pretty good. I've been busy. I had to pick up extra days helping organize some events at the hotel, and then the comedy troupe that I produce actually had their first live performance yesterday under kind of my organization with them, and it went really well. It was
awesome.
A really good time. We were requested to come do the gig, so we didn't even have to like pay to be in the theater or anything of that nature. It was like a 50 person theater. We had like 30 people in the seats.
That's pretty good.
It was good. Yeah, and they were a great crowd. They were really receptive to the whole thing. We had really phenomenal hosts and other acts that went on before us, and we were the headliners.
Nice.
Yeah, something we didn't realize until we had gotten there. They were like, yeah, you guys are going to be the last ones to go on, like, make a, you know, bring it down. And they did. And I was really proud of the group that I've got. They were really, yeah, it was last minute that they had requested us to come together, and we threw together like 20, 25 minutes of material that they had had before. Uh-huh. And it was really kind of a confidence boost between us all to see that we could do that really quickly, just put together 20, 25 minutes worth of material and have it be good and run seamlessly. And the crowd was really enjoying it. And so it just really kind of put a fire under everybody's butt to keep moving, keep doing more, get funnier.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
That's
get funnier.
Insanely.
Get
that's
funnier.
A lot of material.
Yeah, because before they weren't funny at all, you know. Now, oh my God, they're a riot.
Yeah, it was a drama troupe. They used to do Russian dramas.
Russian.
Now they're really funny.
But that's a lot of material, though. For comedy, that's a ton of material last minute.
Right.
So nice job.
And
I didn't
nice.
See
we
it.
We got two stand-ups in the group, too. So they awesome. Were able to do a little bit of their bits and practice and whatnot. Mm. Me and her have been clicking this pen. We have a war going on. Because she's got a fidget like you wouldn't believe.
I'll give you a fidget to play with.
Yeah.
A silent one.
I know. I'm going to break all the fidgets.
Well, hell, she broke your pen last week.
She did break my pen fidgeting.
Yeah.
I know. Well, okay, to be fair, who put a pen in my spot? No one else has a pen. And I just look down and there's this magical utensil.
I always
writes.
Have a pen.
I know, but it's
yeah,
in my
spot. Yeah, we're talking about when you broke her
no,
pen.
No, I know.
Last week.
No, I know. I was on a different subject. I went to a different tab. You may have still been on the other one, but my brain went whoop this way.
Her brain always goes whoop. That's the
whoop that way.
That's the only reason why she's on the show, is because her brain goes whoop.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Weep.
We love the whoop.
We love the whoop.
Well, there it is. So.
Sounds like a new section to the show, Caitlin's whoop.
There it is.
Yes.
Whoop of the week.
Whoop
of the
week. Gosh. Wait, we should make a sound.
A sound.
Like, yeah,
it's
know,
a whoop.
iPad,
that is a sound.
No, I know for the iPad, you know, every time there's like a little moment.
Oh,
like,
we need a whoop. Yeah. Cool. So it's been a busy week. Picked up work. Had the comedy troupe. I've tried to sit down and do some more recordings for an audio drama that I've been working on. So it's been,
nice.
It's been nice. Just kind of spitting the whole idea out and just getting it so I can go back and re-listen to it and think of details that I had maybe forgotten or take out ones that aren't really consequential to what's going on.
But,
yeah, so it's been nice getting busy, keeping up, getting tired, realizing that coffee is a necessity again. Or at least tea. I've been on a tea kick lately. This Moroccan mint.
Oh,
yeah, Moroccan mint tea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a green tea.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So not as much as like a black tea, but.
Not Earl Grey hot?
I know. I do like Earl Grey, though, too.
That's what she feels proper for the day, though.
Always proper, Leo.
Well, I don't know about that.
Got some class.
The way we talk off the mic, you know.
Off the mic, on the mic. The way I talk on the air.
Well, I've had an interesting week.
Oh, do
so. Last week we were talking about the drums and everything and so forth.
Yes.
So I made an appointment with the drum tech, Kenny Sharitz.
Right.
Wonderful guy. He lives in Texas. So big shout out to Kenny. He has done teching for Train, Elvis Costello. I'm trying to go off the top of my head right now. Stevie Wonder, just to name some of the big artists that he's done the tech drum for. Janet Jackson, also her drummer. And then he's also done like American Idol when they've gone on tour and stuff like that and everything. So,
oh, nice.
So the guy knows what the hell he's doing. And his whole thing is basically making your drums an actual instrument itself. I mean, we all obviously know it is, but a lot of drummers don't know how to properly tune their drums. And they kind of sit there and kind of go, boom, boom, boom. Oh, that sounds good, you know, and then they move on. But what Kenny does is try to get the most out of the drum itself. What note does it hit? You know, so I said it was like 2 hours, Kenny and I. We did all five of my drums and everything, and it was an amazing lesson. And I learned so much, and now I know exactly what to listen for. And he has given me the notes of the drums, of what they should be, both the top head and the bottom head. And so that way it resonates properly. And wow, these things are kicking ass. For such a small kit, it sounds bigger than what they should be.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
So do you like put your ear up against the drum and talk to it and find out what key it wants to be?
Yes.
Give it a couple taps on the top, just like with two fingers maybe.
Well, I can make it with one.
One finger?
I'm that talented.
Yeah, you got girthy fingers.
Yes, I do, baby.
I have very small hands. I have baby hands. I only have one friend of mine that has smaller hands than mine.
No, I got tiny, stubby little fingers.
Yeah, I've got very, very tiny hands.
But no, Kenny taught me a couple of different things, and it was really cool to sit back, and we did everything through Skype and everything, and we had so much fun talking back and forth also, but really getting to...
Talk about skill to be able to do that over a computer. Yeah. To, like, not be in the room.
You know, that was the thing I was really amazed about, because I put my iPad out in the garage where my drum kit is. And even for him to hear it here, because you have to tap around where the lugs are at. And what it is you finger tight each of the lugs. And you make sure that they're all nice and tight and they set in. And then you tap around it. And then you want to balance the drum out, and so depending on how low or how high you want, you balance it out, and then from that point on you then find where you want to have it sit as far as the note is concerned. And that's just the top head. Then the bottom head, you have, I'm going to speak musical terms here now, the choice of either doing a perfect fourth, a major third, or a minor third. And each one will have a different effect on the drum, whether you want more sustain in it, whether you want to have the boominess but less sustain so it doesn't, you know, prolong as much or anything like that as far as the sound is concerned. What's good for an arena, and so everything comes back up into the microphones and everything. So there's different ways to tune for different reasons. And that was the biggest takeaway I got. But he does a unique method where you use two keys to tune at the same time. And boy, that just makes things so much easier to tune things quickly. And we were very, very happy the way everything came out. And even we took the second tom, which is the same size, but gave it a different note. So I've got three different notes on the toms overall in general. So but the kit sounds freaking amazing now. It just sounds so good. So if for any drummers out there, and what's nice is that because Kenny can do it remotely, go to KennySherritz.com or go to YouTube and look up Kenny Sherritz. And there are some videos on there, too, where he does teach you how to do it. But if you want a one-on-one lesson, it's not that much money either. It's only $60 an hour. So if you can do it within the hour itself, whatever, good on you. And it took me two, so I had to pay a little extra, but that's fine. But he takes you step by step to make sure, and he's listening to your kit and to making sure exactly where it's at. And I know what to listen for overall as well, too. And then he gives you the notes so that way it stays in tune properly. So it's which is really, really nice. So shout out to Kenny. Big thank you so much, buddy. But definitely check out his videos on YouTube. They're really, really good. So, and then the other thing is that one of the bands I'm in right now, we finally got a full band together now. So we've got our singer, we've got our lead guitarist, and we're pretty happy with it. So now we're moving forward and getting stuff done tomorrow. It'll be our first big full rehearsal and everything. So, and hopefully we'll get through two sets and then create two more, then hopefully start playing out. So yay! I'm excited. I'm really, really excited about this. So, and it's sounding really, really good and really tight now with these
nice.
Two guys.
The bustle sounds like it's coming back.
Yes. Yes, it is. So very excited about that. So, all right. Should we do horoscopes?
Who's first?
All right. Well, let's do the birthday people first here. So I've got Aries, of course.
Me.
And that is you. And your birthday's coming up.
Yeah.
When see, it's the 6th?
Yes.
Oh, look at that. I remembered.
Ha-ha.
I remembered.
Look at that.
All right. And you'll finally be 21 and legal.
Yeah.
Well.
I will be able to have my first drink.
Except she can't rent a car.
Legally.
I can't rent a car?
No, not until 25.
Oh. Whatever, wow. I can still drink.
Because that's important.
It is.
It is. All right, here we go. Aries, prioritizing yourself this month should be, well, a priority. You should be looking for ways to push your agenda because the universe is in the mood to lend a helping hand. Follow your intuition whenever you speak to it. Dear Aries, especially if it pertains to your personal life or public image. Though you'll be feeling as ambitious as ever, it's important that you carve out plenty of time for self-care. On April 5th, which isn't too far away, the day before your birthday, this day can be particularly healing for you, but only if you put the time into nurturing yourself. Running away from from rest or even your feelings can backfire during this time, so you'll need to be proactive about going within and tapping into your emotions. Luckily, these vibes can be extremely inspiring, helping you to see a path ahead with more clarity and creativity. The 14th marks another significant shift for you, so use this energy to pull back from making big moves in favor of flying under the radar and planning your next great adventure. Look upon this astrological period a bit of the calm before the storm as your mind, body, and soul gear up for a whirlwind of activity next month. Mars will enter Aries on May 2nd, so giving you permission to pull the trigger on everything you've been meditating on throughout April. Meanwhile, Taurus season kicks off on April 19th for you, reiterating the universe's request for you to slow down, but be sure to enjoy the finer things in life while you're at it.
Aww.
So there you go.
All right. Gemini.
Yeah.
Hello.
You'll be jumping from one social engagement to another this month, dear Gemini, as Aries season lights a fire in your solar 11th house.
Oh, so that's what's burning.
These vibes could also inspire you to pick up a new extracurricular activity, especially if it involves taking a class at a local studio or community college. Just try not to get too carried away by your ambitions right now, or you could end up attempting to do too many things at once. Before you agree to attend a party, enroll in a class, or add an extra brunch to your already packed weekend, stop to think about whether or not you actually have the bandwidth to do so. After a whirlwind start to the month, you'll begin to feel a bit more closed off once the sun moves into Taurus on April 19th. This solar placement encourages you to slow down, especially if you've been feeling stretched thin. This energy could also impact your desire to communicate, since solace will seem more appealing than even a one-on-one with your bestie. As the month comes to a close, your ruler, Mercury, enters your sign on the 29th. These vibes can work wonders when it comes to boosting your focus, and you might even begin to feel like socializing again. However, you should still hang back from the limelight a bit longer and use this brain-boosting energy to focus on your goals and the calculated steps you must take to actualize them. Just try not to share these ideas with anyone else for the time being unless you know you can fully trust them.
Nothing in there about a job, huh?
No, or sex. Sorry.
Wow.
Damn it.
But it does say that you're going to be enrolling in something, so, I mean, that could be a job.
Well, the drum course, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm already doing that already, so.
That's
damn.
Funny.
Stop yeah. that.
Sorry.
This is future.
Oh. It's doing it retroactive.
Yeah,
retroactive.
No retroactive.
Steve, who do you have?
Leo, 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 Leo.
Oh, disappointments in
Lord.
Sparks yeah. of inspiration will light a fire within you this month as the Aries sun burns brightly in your solar 9th house.
There's more burning.
Ooh, do you smell
Ooh.
Something? These
like
vibes.
Aries, fire sign.
These vibes are poised to take you on a few journeys of the mind. Though you might feel prompted to pack for some physical exploration as well. Whether you're daydreaming at your desk or embarking on an adventure, give yourself permission to let go of what's expected of you. Just don't allow this sentiment to go too far, dear Leo. You still need to take care of your work and responsibilities. Your intuition is also set to receive a nice boost from our solar placement as the universe looks for ways to guide and communicate with you. However, your third eye could begin to frustrate you When the Libra full moon manifests in the sector of your chart that rules communication and thought processes on April 16th. This cosmic climate could put you at a crossroads as Luna has you romanticizing your future while Pluto confronts you with harsh logistical reality surrounding such dreams. What the hell am I reading?
Wait, I don't know. It sounds like the dog's barking.
Because we're heading into
a
recession and it's not a good time to start a business.
He's talking about cosmic climate change.
Look at Oscar.
And things are burning. The world's burning.
Right, exactly.
The world's on fire.
See, I see the subtext.
And of the world as we know it.
And I can feel fine. I feel high.
I'm a fire sign and I have red hair.
Okay, don't feel disheartened by the work that lies before you. Instead, break it down piece by piece.
Yeah.
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 Come on.
There's an echo.
Now, talk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Taurus season begins on the 19th, shifting your focus to professional ambitions.
Yeah.
These vibes can play a key role in growing your career over the next year, and you'll need to be patient with the process. Rather than feel anxious for a promotion, look for ways to showcase your unique talents. Picking up a few extra shifts or tasks will shine a spotlight on your loyalty and work ethic. Which won't go unnoticed by your superiors.
Mm.
I did just get a supervisor position offered to me.
Oh
my!
I know
you're going to be a superior,
but I haven't taken that one particularly just yet.
I haven't decided yet.
No, it's at the hotel, and I'm been trying to wean myself off of that work for a good while.
Ah, fair enough.
I know. And just as I was like, I'm only going to be able to do 2 days a week, they were like, how about a supervisor?
Wow.
You're really doing amazing those 2 days.
You don't want to do two? Can you do five?
Yeah. Was that the end of Leo?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that was how I felt.
Leo.
I felt like it was the end.
Leo.
Okay.
I think it ended in the middle, but that's okay.
All right.
Did it?
All right, Caitlin, here you go.
Do I have more?
No.
Oh.
No, you don't.
I thought you were holding out on me.
Holding back.
That was it.
Scorpio. Strange.
Scorpio.
Scorpio.
Oh, boy.
Is that you?
Uh-huh.
Strange things could happen to your energy level this month, dear Scorpio. Because the Aries sun is traveling through the sector of your chart that governs health and wellness. There will be many times when you feel energized, motivated, and ready to take on the day. However, this boost to your vigor could be fleeting if you don't pace yourself, making it important that you maintain a healthy balance between movement and rest. You'll also want to gauge how much time you spend assisting others. This solar placement can put you in a helpful mood, but you should consider what you already have on your plate before adding tasks that aren't your responsibility. Your creative juices begin to flow on April 14th. Allow this energy to move through you by embracing an artistic outlet of your choice.
What was the date on that?
April 14th.
Okay, good, because that's when we'll be funny. Okay, good.
I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
Steve's like, any juice is flowing at this point.
Oh my gosh.
Didn't he just ask the crystal ball last week if he'd get laid again?
Yeah.
Apparently it's going to be on April 14th.
April 14th, okay.
Where is he going to meet someone? His
Wait,
garage?
So he'll be funny and get laid. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. All
That's right. how you do it.
Oh my gosh.
Nice.
Are we going out
to
the bars
to be funny first.
Yeah. Is that where he's getting laid?
Maybe getting laid is the funny part.
Hey, sex and comedy go hand in hand.
Yes,
in
yes
hand.
We do.
In hand.
Okay,
in
okay,
hand.
We need to move on.
That's a Thursday.
Your creative juices begin to flow on April 14th. Allow this energy. I don't even know where I was at.
Right there.
You were right there.
Okay, cool. Allow this energy to move through you by embracing an artistic outlet of your choice. If you've been fantasizing about getting a new passion project off the ground, this is the prime time to do so. The universe is looking for ways to reward your motivation and ambition. Your focus shifts to matters of the heart beginning when the sun enters Taurus on the 19th. The solar placement brings a sensual and luxurious vibe to the table, which can help you take your intimate connection to a new level. Oh my gosh.
Well, you know, any level would be a new level.
Yeah, I know.
Caitlin's oddly familiar with your sex life, apparently.
We just all know that it's nothing.
Wow.
Hey, Nia.
Sorry, didn't mean
looking
to...
for a daddy not quite so sugar.
Hey, I'm
a sweet and sour daddy.
Sour daddy.
Sour daddy.
Sour daddy. Wow.
I told as
what
April,
a concept.
As an April Fool's joke, I texted my sister. I was like, "Oh my gosh, I think I'm pregnant," and like went on and on about it. And she's like, "No, you're, I don't believe that." And I was like, "Yeah, you're right. I'd have to like men first."
Yeah.
Or at least like lie down with one.
Or
However, it is also important that you use this astrological period to treat yourself. So don't be afraid to splurge on an item or two, as long as it won't completely throw off your budget.
Hookers. Mm.
That's how he's getting laid.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, a hooker, why not?
Massage parlor, I'm telling you.
Ooh.
Is that it?
Yep.
All right, and there are our horoscopes.
Horoscopes.
All right. Well, I saw this the other day, and I thought it was kind of funny. And Steve and I would kind of go through these kind of quickly. Each one is divided up here, so we're going to try and do this properly. It's going to go kind of go back and forth, Steve, on some of them.
Okay.
So, but this is like when autocorrect goes wrong. I mean, have you guys? I'm sure this has happened to you guys too, right?
All the time.
Oh, no, all never. Never.
Yeah. What are some of the words that you kind of get screwed up on for you? Anything particular?
I don't remember. It's just, it's weird. With Samsung, it's like, it's a little different. It's not really auto-correct as much as just use this word instead of
that word.
That word,
yeah. Yeah. Wow.
And the words don't make sense.
Yeah. For me, the biggest thing is, like, because I use the voice recognition.
Right.
So, for me, it's always when I'm talking to my son, I call him mijo, which is a Spanish term. You know, it's an endearing word.
My ho.
That's
how
out.
It comes across, right?
That's come out. My ho. Mojo. Cujo.
Ojo.
Oh, I don't think I've gotten an Ojo or whatever, but I've gotten like other things, you know, and I'm like going, no.
Ojo single.
So I got to wait till I get to a stoplight or something and then, you know, retype it in or something. So this is something, you know, so a couple of these are on autocorrect here, which I thought were pretty cool. So the first one here says, do you, and these are all, you know, text, of course. Do you want mashed potatoes or bitch gobbler potatoes tonight? And the person says, well, oh my God, butthurt potatoes. No, bit hurt. Buttered is what I'm trying to say. Buttered potatoes.
Okay.
So the second one, you and I will go back and forth on these lines.
Are you doing the Nutcracker this year?
Yep. I'm auctioning kids tomorrow. No, suctioning kids tomorrow. Ridiculous auto cat recall rectal. Bird seed. I'm auditioning kids foreplay.
Wow. I'm sorry I asked.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead and start the next one.
Are you packing a sweatshirt? Do you think we will need one?
I'm bringing two. My camel toe is huge, and I'm just cramming as much as I can in there.
What?
My camel tote. Oh, my God. That's the last straw with this autocorrect.
A straw that broke the camel toe's back, apparently. Okay.
All right. Just watch the news. Weatherman says to prepare for flamingos this weekend.
Oh, God, no, anything but flamingos.
Flooding. This phone is so silly.
Well, that's a relief. I was unsure how to prepare for the bird invasion.
Can you imagine that? Just see like a flock of like all these.
It's
people.
The birds all over.
That'd be pretty though.
An army of them.
Go ahead and read the next one.
Okay, having a hard time sleeping. Try to find the right relaxation sound to lull me to La La Land. I'm thinking genital thunderstorm. What do you think? Oh, God. I mean genital. What the fuck? Genital. Ah, never mind. Okay.
Let's see here. Here we go. What are you getting Grandpa for Father's Day?
Cock ring. No. Cock Jeez. Ring.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think Grandpa needs a cock ring.
I can't stop laughing. Yahtzee, the game.
Wow. I only got him a tie.
You get a cock ring out of Yahtzee.
I know.
That's bizarre. Hey, where did you go?
I was just defecating outside. You want to come help? Everything's getting tangled.
Ew, gross. You know, we have a toilet in the house.
Oh, my God. I meant decorating, and the lights are tangled.
Okay, how did Emily break her finger?
Her finger got stuck in my butthole.
What?
I meant buckle. My belt buckle.
Oh, well, geez, how did that happen?
I know. That, I don't know if that
There's
makes
a story behind that.
Yeah.
Well, she's trying to say buckle, and it came out butthole.
Yeah, but what was her finger doing in the butthole?
And she broke it, too. Yeah. So she was trying to rip it off.
Oh, she broke her finger in the belt buckle.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Okay, yeah. Great news. I finally found my G-spot.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing, Mom. Congrats.
I found it in the back seat of my car.
Okay, Mom. This is just getting too weird. I know we're close, but come on.
Huh? Oh, God. I meant GPS.
Your father and I fondled ourselves for the first time last night. We didn't get good results. Nothing came up.
Laugh my ass off. Mom, I don't know what you tried to write, but that's hilarious.
Damn autocorrect. We Googled ourselves. No results.
Oh, Mom, I'm dying of laughter. Can you pick me up some more boobsicle? No, I meant boobsicle. Boobsicle. God, donkey.
So that's three orders of boobsicles and one holy donkey. Anything else?
Okay, I got the package. I got your package in the mail. What is it?
Blurry dick.
Huh?
a Blu-ray disc.
Oh, must be autocorrect. What movie?
An old favorite, Finding Nympho.
You should stop texting for a while.
I mean, Finding Memo. Nemo.
Okay, hey, what are you up to?
I just finished masturbating. It makes me feel so relaxed, so I can get to sleep easier.
Awkward.
Shit, I meant menstruating.
Not any less awkward.
Oh my God, I meant meditating. What's wrong with this phone? And there you go, guys. When autocorrect goes wrong.
Holy mackerel.
Gotta love some of those, man. Really good. Well, we've got sports coming up, so let's hit that theme, please.
Sports.
Hi, Oz.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. I didn't do anything this week. I'd like to apologize to the Academy.
Oh, no.
I'm still suffering from PTSD from Pootie Tang. Let's see. Well, I got a couple of major things to talk about.
All
right.
What we got?
First, I'm going to pick a fight with your Magic 8-Ball.
Okay.
You totally steered us wrong on the tournament. I did a better job than Magic 8-Ball, which is saying something. We're down to the Final Four. And it's a classic Final Four. This is the first time in history that we've had four teams mm-hmm. who have all won at least three championships before.
Oh, wow.
And they're all in recent history, too. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, this is UCLA coming back to the Final Four. You know, these are teams with great traditions and whatnot. And also, the second game today is North Carolina and Duke.
Oh.
Of course. Mm. Now, of course, we think of that as a great rivalry and whatnot because they play in the ACC. But do you realize this is the first time they're meeting at any level of this tournament?
Really?
Isn't that wild? And again, this could be Coach K's last game.
That's true.
Right?
Now, did Gonzaga get in or no?
No, sir.
Oh,
no, sir.
Wow.
That's the gripe I had to pick mm-hmm. about the Magic 8-Ball. I don't know. I guess I can break this down a little bit. Duke has been pretty hot lately. Their game is all about Pablo Banchero. We got some great names in this tournament. He's going to be a top five pick, I think, in the NBA draft, mm-hmm. this coming draft. And, you know, again, that's why I like this tournament the most, is that this is the first exposure to a lot of guys that are going to be playing in the NBA real soon. Now, in their last game against Texas Tech, mm-hmm. which I asked the 8-Ball about, they went, let's see, I have the numbers here, 17 of 24 in the second half. That's 71% shooting. That's pretty good.
That's folks. Damn good.
Yeah, that is.
I don't know how much folks out there know about sports, but that's pretty good. Now, the case for North Carolina, because you can't pick Duke, Matt. Don't pick Duke.
Just
don't do it. No,
don't do it.
Pick
okay.
North Carolina. North Carolina. Be the good guy. Pick North Carolina. North Carolina, great story. Of course, Hubert Davis, this is his first year as coach mm-hmm. after Roy Williams was coached there forever. I mean, Roy Williams is the guy who coached James Worthy and Michael Jordan. So he was there for a while. And this is his first year as coach. Now, they're 10-1 in their last 11 after starting the season, 18-8, which in North Carolina is pretty bad. But since then, of course, they're on this massive roll, including beating Duke in the ACC tournament, mm-hmm. which was one of the biggest recent wins in the history of this school. And so that's the case for North Carolina, is that they're so hot right now and that the coach has finally got them playing Tar Heel basketball. Again, North Carolina gets another chance to send out Coach K, so they're certainly going to look forward to that opportunity. Duke is a 4-point favorite. Only. North Carolina entered this as a number 9 seed, I think.
Eight seed.
Sorry.
Seven.
Six.
What are we?
Five.
Five.
Four.
Three.
Is something going to explode?
Yeah. There it is.
The other game.
Thank you.
Thanks for pulling your finger out of it.
You're welcome.
Damn. Was that a belt buckle?
Yes, it was.
Hope so, it didn't break it.
The other game, you have Kansas, which is the only number 1 seed that made it to the Final Four, against Villanova. Yeah, there we go. There's my pick. Now, if I were betting this thing, here's a note for just the informal bettors out there. If I had bet this thing, right now, I'd have Villanova at about 10-1 odds to win this thing. So it's a pretty good payoff, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to hedge. Right? Even if you think Villanova can continue, you got to bet on Kansas in this game. You have to. Kansas is 4.5-point favorites. The other problem with Villanova is Villanova is playing without Justin Moore. He got injured in the last 30 seconds or so of the Houston game, the last game they played. This guy is their second high scorer. He's an NBA prospect. He's a junior on the team. You know, one of the team leaders, whatnot, and mm-hmm. they're going to have to play this game without him. Now, of course, the thing about Villanova is they've always been about the team game.
Right.
Right. They've always been about that in this 21st century in which they've had so much success. But the player, I guess, that we're looking for here is a guy named, let's see. Oh, yes. Here we go. Caleb Daniels. Now, Caleb Daniels is quite a story. He's a senior. And he's a transfer, but he's a redshirt. Okay, now redshirt is not what it means on Star Trek, where the guy gets beamed down and gets exterminated. But that's rather, here's a guy that did not get a scholarship to play here.
Uh-huh.
And he's a senior this year, and he's going to start. And so it just really shows, this is his moment. This is Caleb Daniels' moment. Mm-hmm. And to me, this is what makes this tournament really great. Is that, you know, before leaving the university, I mean, Caleb will probably never play in the NBA. He might get some work in Europe. But, you know, as far as the American consciousness is concerned, this is what's great about the tournament, is now this guy gets a chance to shine. Kansas is awesome, though. Mm-hmm. Kansas is awesome. So if I have to pick right now, I'm going Kansas, North Carolina.
For the finals.
Yes, that's what I would bet on, but I got to stick with Villanova. So I'm going to say Villanova. Gee, I'm surprised, Sean, that you didn't want to talk about this. Opening day.
Well,
and opening day.
Yeah.
It's on the 7th.
I know.
It's just a few days away.
It's coming up.
Do you have a pick for the World Series? Because I do.
not really, no. But I do think the Dodgers might make it into the finals again, though.
They are the favorite.
I don't know if they're going to get to the World Series, though, but I think they'll definitely get into the finals for sure.
They have the defending champs.
Yeah, exactly.
Aren't you an Angels guy, though?
I'm also an Angels guy, too. Yeah. Been kind of watching them lately, you know, with being out in Arizona right now. And they seem to be doing pretty good. So it's going to be really interesting. I know the Dodgers just got a brand new closer, which I'm excited about because the one that they had, to me, couldn't cut the mustard. And why they kept him for so long, I'll never know. I mean, because in my opinion, he blew every major clutch game. He couldn't pitch it. You know, on a regular game, he was fine. He did what he needed to do. But when it came time to those critical moments in the World Series or in the playoffs, I turned the TV off because I knew he was going to lose the game. And, I mean, I was like 90% correct. And because the next morning I watch up or later on that night, I would, you know, see it. And, yeah, you know, Dodgers lost by two, you know, almost, you know, or four or five because he let five runs go, you know. So I'm glad they have it sucked. It really sucked. And why Roberts kept him in or just as a closer in general, I'll never know. You know, and why they didn't find a new closer immediately after the first two seasons, I'll never understand that. You know, but now
they got through it. Yeah, they got the title.
They got through, but I mean, to me, even in my eyes, they should have won the World Series when they went the first time.
Well, yeah, but there was that thing with the Astros, right?
Well,
the Astros were cheating.
I get that, though, but still, there was clutch moments, though.
Oh, sure, of course. Yep. Oh, yeah.
That he blew.
Yep.
And, you know, and you know, same thing. I mean, we in my opinion, we almost didn't make it to the World Series this last time either.
Yeah.
I mean, that was
close. It was a squeaker.
And it was because of him, you know. And I'm just like, oh, my God. Please. No, it was. To me,
it was a squeaker.
To me, both times that the Dodgers got into the World Series, it was a squeaker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It really was. But the closer, you know, he screwed it up every single time, in my opinion. And why they kept him on the roster for a longer period, I'll never know. And to me, I blame management for that. And I'm talking about the upper management, basically, not Roberts, because, you know, Roberts has got to do what he's, you know, played, you know, the guys that he's got. And, but it was just horrible.
He is a baseball guy.
I'm so glad that they got a new closer, and I want to see what he's capable of doing. And getting in there, you know, and doing the job right. But I want to see him, what he can do in a clutch situation. Can he handle the pressure? Can he be a K-Rod was for the Angels? You know, because, I mean, that dude came in, same thing, 17 years old, and was facing Barry Bonds, you know, and, you know, some of these big slugger hitters against the Giants. He didn't give a rat's ass. He went in and did his job, you know. And, yeah, some of them got a couple of hits off him, but there was times where he struck them out. And he did his job. He's a 17-year-old kid. I don't give a shit who you are. I want to do my job. And that's exactly what he did. You know, so hopefully this new kid for the Dodgers is going to do the same thing. So we'll see.
What about you, Steve? You got a pony in the race this year?
No. Seabiscuit.
It's been a while since I've
runs on three
too
legs
much about baseball.
Montreal Canadiens.
Doesn't thrill me anymore.
I'm going to go with a weird one. I'm just going to get this in. I'm going to go with a weird pick. I'm going to go Blue Jays versus Padres in the World Series.
Sort of a rhyme time matchup.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be like two of the more obscure baseball markets. Fantastic. And Toronto could get their third World Series title. I just like their chances this year because, you know, for a long time they've been on the bubble, but they play in the same division as the Yankees, Red Sox, and the Devil Rays, who have been friggin' awesome lately.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, and then they re-signed Vlad Guerrero. They got a bona fide number one starter this year. I think the Jays are finally going to break through.
And I'm going the Padres because they seemed to have a dream team last year, and then they just got hit with COVID and injuries like all season. So I'm going
to Which can happen to a team at any given time.
Of course. Yeah. Well, not so much COVID, but the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
absolutely.
Know what I mean? Blake Snell, the guy they signed because he was pissed off at, the, at his manager in Tampa Bay, you know, he missed a bunch of starts. And so he was supposed to be their top guy. Yu Darvish had a great season, but had no run support. So I think the Padres are going to roll it back, and I think this year they're going to win.
Yeah, well, I'm just glad that the strike's over with. They settled everything,
yeah.
And they're going to do
it
a full.
It starts about a week late.
Yeah,
but
we got a full season going, so, you know, let's go and get
play
out
ball.
There. Play ball, exactly. All righty, and that's us supposed to say we with Mr. Oz Davis. And don't forget, you can get him on, I'm sorry, was it the network again?
You can go to Sports History Network.
Sports History.
SportsHistoryNetwork.com. You can check out OrvilleMulligan.com for the audio drama that's been burning my neurons this past couple of months.
All right, thank you, Oz.
Thanks.
All right, guys. Well, we all know this past week has been a very unusual week. For those of you who've been hiding under a rock and who go, huh, what's that thing about the statue they give away every year to, what do they call them? Actors? What's all that about?
Actors.
Yeah. OSARS? Oh, the OSARS?
Yeah.
Ockers?
The
Oz. You know, actor stands in front of a camera, they record
the
it,
Oscars.
And then all the other actors look at it and go, ooh, I like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they give him a statue.
Yeah.
A golden eunuch statue.
Yeah, carrying a sword. Of course, we're talking about the slap heard around the world. Wow. I know everybody's got their own take on it, everything. At first, when I saw it, I thought it was part of the thing.
I thought it was a complete joke. Like,
yeah, so did I. And until I saw Will Smith yell back, you know, about it.
Dude, that frog neck in the middle of screaming back at the stage. I had never seen him so thuggish like that.
Yeah. Totally out of character, I think, for who he is and what he wants to portray.
Who he wants to portray.
Well,
right.
Now, if you read all the stuff, he's had problems like that in the past.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was down in the dirt before Fresh Prince.
Oh, yeah.
Right before.
Oh, exactly. And thank God for Quincy Jones, because it was Quincy who helped convince him to do Fresh Prince. Mm. You know, I kind of feel bad for him, but at the same token, as many people have said, and I totally agree, it was obviously uncalled for what he did. Chris Rock threw out a joke. We all know what it is. It didn't go over that well. Obviously, it went over worse with Will Smith, but you know, it came up so many other subjects.
Hey, it went well. Up. It went just fine over with Will Smith.
At first,
it didn't go great with Jada,
right? And you know, I was talking to other comedians about it, and looking at other comedian friends who saw it and everything. And of course, now their biggest fear is if we do a joke, if somebody is offended by it, now you know it's. Will somebody come out of the club or whatever and hit me now? That's now.
I love the comedians coming out and saying, like, try it.
Yeah. Mm.
Please try that. You try to come onto my stage and slap me across the face because I said a joke.
Yeah. And I got to give kudos to Chris Rock, though. He is totally taking the high road on this thing. He really is. He handled it, I think, very properly. During the live telecast, his Boston show, because he started his tour now, his comedy tour, he's been handling that very well. I think the first words that he said as he walked out on stage and walked out to a standing ovation was, so how was your weekend?
Nice.
You know, and I think on Friday night or Thursday, somebody started to yell out F Will Smith. And he stopped it immediately and said, no, we are not going there at all tonight. So he is still taking the high road on this. And, of course, if you've been watching everything and so many things that have now been coming out with the Academy and everything, Will has now resigned from the Academy. So good on him, I think, for that. But I'm wondering, I personally think he should do one more step, which is give the Oscar back. That's my personal
opinion. Really?
I think
really?
So. I think.
Wow. Wow.
I do.
Although, you know, what it'll do is it's if he puts it somewhere and see it, it'll constantly remind him what he did.
Exactly. You know, and, you know, it's the statement that he or his publicist probably wrote for him. You know, it's it's an incident that's going to be on there forever, you know, but it's going to be one of those where it brought the Academy down. Mm-hmm. You know, and mm-hmm. it screwed up a great moment for Questlove.
That's true.
Yep. It screwed up a moment for a lot of other nominees, you know, and the audience itself. I mean, now that there's pictures are coming out of people's actual reaction of how surprised they were of what actually happened, mm-hmm. You know, he apologized to the Academy, obviously, that night. He should apologize to Chris Rock. He has yet to do a private apology to Chris. There's been no phone call to Chris at all. He did it publicly through Instagram, but it was written. Personally, I think he should have done a video. You know, I mean, because you can do that on Instagram.
I wouldn't know.
I don't know. Caitlin, can you do a video on Instagram?
Yeah, you can video chat too.
Okay, great. So I think he should have done that better, you know, or done that instead. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Academy is going to do. Like I said, he resigned yesterday, and he still says, I'll take whatever consequence you guys still give.
They're mulling it over.
They really are, and how they handled it also. You know, again, kudos to Chris Rock, though, about saying, no, I'm not going to press charges. You know, yeah. And LAPD is still saying, well, we're here if you want it. Mm-hmm. We'll still go get him. You know, we have his address. You know, but he's still saying no. So, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I watched it in live, and I was just like, I thought it was part of something or whatever until he started yelling back. So, I don't know. What's your take, Steve?
we discussed this a little bit earlier about the type of humor. There was absolutely nothing wrong with the joke.
Mm-hmm.
I think time and place come into play. Because I don't think that the Oscars should be turned into a roast. That's my own personal thing.
Right, yeah.
If Will and Jada agree to be roasted in a show, that's the kind of joke that would come up. And that's what we'd use, and it would be okay. I just feel like in the past year, I don't know, it's been a while, but the some of the things Ricky Gervais does this, but they've kind of turned the Oscar hosting into a roast, and I just don't think it's the right place for that level.
Yeah, I think to pick out certain things or whatever. Where, I mean, you look at who's hosted the Oscars. Mm-hmm. One of the most famous ones, of course, no longer with us, obviously, but Bob Hope did it for 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Carson has hosted it a number of times also. And, of course, my most recent favorite is Billy Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy kind of threw some punches, though, at the movie industry, but yeah. I think it was a little bit more as a whole or a company, whatever. And some of those jokes... And I looked at some of his opening stuff, too, whatever, where some didn't go over that well either. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this was, I think, a little bit more...
It was very personal.
A personal jab.
Completely personal jab at Jada.
Yeah, and I think as we say in everything, it's all in the delivery. And I think Chris went, not I don't want to say for the jugular, but he went straight for the punchline as opposed to maybe easing into... the punchline, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, the question I think everybody's asking...
That's kind of what I'm saying is it has gotten to a point where it was easy for Chris Rock to just do it.
Right. Yeah.
If it hadn't been building up to be that easy, I don't think it ever would have happened.
Mm-hmm. shoot, I had my thought. I lost it now, but that's
anything
okay.
Else?
Turn your mic
the down. Oscars used to be, you know, like glamorous and glitz, and it was sort of like, I mean, at its peak, there were 50 million viewers watching the Oscars, and last... The year, what is it, 2021, there were only like maybe 10 million people who tuned into
it. I heard it was four.
Yeah, super low. And then this past one only had maybe 15 tops million. So they only maybe managed to go up 5 million. I mean, the Oscars are a joke. And I mean, we talked about it last week that I've never even sat down and really watched an Oscars. And it's because I think the more publicity that they get from the internet and the paparazzi, you see more of the ugly of these people nowadays. You see more of like the real lives where the Oscars used to be an exposition, you know, an expose of all these people coming together, putting on a pretty face, showing, you know, how well they could put themselves on for the world. And now there's not really much hiding behind that glitz and glamour anymore. The veil is much thinner and
very true.
Yeah. And so I feel like, you know, I feel like people have started to realize that, and the Oscars has fallen off. And because of that, they have tried to start to poke fun amongst themselves because they realized that having this elite mentality that they had, where they felt like they were kind of above the rest and doing it better and living life better, and they were the epitome of the examples for their morals and their ethics. And people know that that's not true. You know, and so when they get to the Oscars and they're giving all these awards out, it's almost, I think, a way for them to balance the hubris that they have at these events, you know, these egos that they have, and they try to make them a bit more humble now on this, on the air, instead of what they used to do, where it was really trying to glitz and glamour and dress it up.
Well, I mean, Hollywood has also changed over the years too. I mean, long gone are the Cary Grants and the Humphrey Bogarts and the Clark Gables, and you know, you don't have the stars of yesteryear anymore. And the ones that are coming in to replace the golden age of Hollywood, you know, they're not as many replacements as quickly as I think I want to say there should be or whatever, but there aren't that many, in my mind, that many big Hollywood stars that carry that weight of the golden age of Hollywood.
Well, yeah, but see, but Sean, that's the evolution of Hollywood in that, okay, it has gone from the big movie star of the 40s and 50s, the Cary Grants, the Humphrey Bogarts, the Ingrid Bergmans, whatever.
Well, even through the 70s and 80s, though.
Yeah, but into the 70s and 80s, what was more important was what? Was the director, right? That's when you got a Steven Spielberg film starring, you know, who used to, Harrison Ford, who used to be the movie star, right? And now, of course, it's all about what? It's all about the franchise. Nobody cares who's in it anymore.
Yeah, but franchises aren't nominated, though, that much.
That's true.
When was the last time a franchise got nominated for the Oscar?
This year, Dune.
No.
It's starting to happen now.
The last time was Godfather and Godfather 2 for Best Picture.
Well, what about Lord of the Rings?
It only got one, though.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So to me, the franchises, I don't include them in that much.
I mean, I don't think it's about the stars either, though, because okay, you want to say, all right, we have fewer stars now. But I'll tell you what, the directing is better now in general in Hollywood. The special effects, of course, are killer right now. Everybody loves good special effects. And I would even dare say that the screenwriting is a lot better nowadays, because I think that audiences are willing to accept more higher concepts. I think that to some extent, Casey is on the right track where it is becoming looked upon as this elitist institution. But here's the thing. TV nowadays is all about focusing your audience, right? Who's going to watch the Oscars? People like me who think it's the Super Bowl of movies. Because it is.
Yeah.
The Academy refuses to make it about the movies. They're making it about celebrities. They devoted 35 minutes to songs in this year's telecast after cutting 8 technical categories. The geeks want to see the technical categories.
A lot of people were upset about that.
Yeah, they were. Okay, like this year, they did The Godfather. retrospective. Okay? All right? There's other movies that are having anniversaries this year. Why don't you have retrospectives on that? We want to see movies.
There were a few that they did do retrospectives on, though. Godfather wasn't the only one.
Oh, yeah.
So they did like two or three other
but
films.
But I want to see all that. You know, I don't want to see the musical numbers. I don't want to see the monologues.
You turn it into a five-hour
thing.
You know, no one's got that kind of time.
But it's about the movie. Yeah, I know, but nobody watches it live anymore. And that was the thing that struck me, going back to the Will Smith thing. That was the thing that struck me the most. Think about this. When was the last time a non-sports live event went through the public consciousness like this thing did? It was almost an argument for the importance of live TV. this thing.
I would probably say it was the Super Bowl where Janet Jackson.
But see, again, sports.
Yeah.
Again, sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scheduled live event, right? So you know that something, well, you didn't know the nipple was going to happen.
Right.
But you know. But when was the last time that happened? You know, some event on live TV that captured our imagination. Everybody streams now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's so broad
because not everybody streams.
Oh, I know.
You know, but I mean, it's how people are doing it. Right. But I mean, when it's a live event, I mean, yeah, maybe they are watching it through their phone.
Yeah.
But that's also the people who are younger than us. That's their generational thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they're watching it overall, you know.
But that was another move that the Academy made this year, is they disallowed it from streaming.
Yeah, so yeah, it's really interesting on how, I mean, it's kind of opened up eyes to a little bit of everything, and it's really interesting. Obviously, everybody has their own opinion. And speaking of opinions, damn it, wow. I got to say, our friend, Paul Preston from the Movie Guys, boy, Paul, he nailed almost every single nominee to win. I kid you not. We were going with Best Original Screenplay. He picked Belfast to that should win and would win. He was right. Belfast won. For Best Adapted Screenplay, he picked The Power of the Dog would win, but he was wrong in who should win, which was correct, which was Coda. Best Original Score was Dune. He got that one right about should win and would win. Best Sound, he picked Dune again. He said Belfast should win, but Dune will win. Best Costuming Design, Cruella won. I say that low because of Casey.
Yeah.
He said should win and would win because she's got issues with that. Best Supporting Actor, Troy Kotsur won, obviously, for Coda, and that was a should win, would win. God, I almost feel like I got a sneeze here. Best Supporting Actress was Andrea Dubose for West Side Story. He got that one right. He got Will Smith right for King Richard. Jessica Chastain for The Eyes of Family, Tammy Faye. He got that one correct. He got Jane Champion correct for Power of the Dog for Best Director. He felt that Kenneth Ronan for Belfast should win, but of course Jane won, and he said that's what who would win. And then of course Best Picture, this did really surprise me though, was Coda.
Really? It surprised you?
It really did. I thought it might have gone to something else, like Power of the Dog. Matter of fact, Paul said that Power of the Dog would win, but who should win should be Coda. He was right on the should, and Coda did win. But I thought it might have been like Power of the Dog or Belfast. I really did. I thought it was going to go somewhere there. So when Coda won for Best Picture, that really, really surprised me. So.
I was happy. He didn't pick a cinematography? That was literally the only one I was surprised by all night was cinematography.
Yeah, we didn't do that one, unfortunately. So,
so did you guys?
Dune won, and I thought it was going to be Power of the Dog.
Yeah. Did you guys, speaking of Power of the Dog, did you watch that super awkward Amy Schumer bit where she called, Kristen Dunst a seat filler?
Yeah.
And what's his name from Power of the Dog had to tell her that was
his wife. I'm like, oh, here we go again. It's round two.
Yeah.
You
know. I was happy for Coda to win.
Oh, so sorry. I was very ecstatic.
And I'd like to say why, and that's because they're talking in Hollywood these days so much about inclusion and whatever, and yeah, that's great. Okay, but I fear that a lot of time they're square pegging to round holing it a little bit, you know, changing people to become, you know, like, I don't know, famous women chess players in the 50s, you know, which I'm not sure really existed. And so, but here is a story that's inclusionary that is necessary to have deaf folks in it. It's about deaf people, but it still has those universal themes in it that we can all understand and
relate
enjoy.
To.
Right. This is the kind of movie that Hollywood, if they're serious about inclusion, needs to make. You know, not this like weird cross-casting stuff. That's not what they need. This is what they need. Stories.
And I think that's, I mean, I think to me it all started with the, was it a few years back or whatever when they were talking about the white Oscars, you know?
Yeah, Oscars so white.
Yeah, and I think that the change started to happen there. It's happening naturally to where we are getting films like Coda.
Yes.
But you are getting certain things to where, you know, certain people in Hollywood don't want to do the film. So now these producers, writers, and directors are going to the streaming services. And they're going, sure, we like it, we'll do it. And, you know, all of a sudden now Apple is the first streaming service to win an Oscar. Because that's where Coda was.
Yeah, but Coda's an independent film. That's what's great about
it. Which is why it was on Apple TV.
Yeah, I know. That's what's great about it.
So to me, I mean, this whole change, it's happening naturally too. And I think it's getting out of the norm for Hollywood, which I think is good. And I think that's also why the ratings have gone down too, because it's this change. And people in general don't like change. They want to keep it here or whatever. And I'm the type of person, though, I welcome change. I like the change. And so, to me, change is good because it means evolution.
Well, how about this? Actually, the Queen's Gambit was real. Her name was Beth Harmon. She was a Kentucky orphan turned chess prodigy who in the 50s and the 60s dominated the typical male-dominated game, beating one grandmaster after another.
Okay, I'm educated. I was under the impression that that was a fiction.
Right?
Oh, wait, I thought it was a book. Like, I mean, thought it was a fiction book.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. I mean, next thing you're going to tell me Mrs. Maisel is real, too?
I don't know. I could Google that.
I would. That would be another
one. And
you
could time travel
me.
In a DeLorean if
right.
you do
so
it properly.
Right, so the season is fictional.
Okay.
But, is, right. but it is.
Based
but,
upon certain
right.
things.
So based
right.
on a true
right.
story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I'm really happy. I like to see, you know, the different movies getting recognized for the different things that they're doing. That I love. I love expanding.
And
you
that's
know,
what I was talking about
and
earlier.
Somebody being using sign language in a film and being able to do it in a way that still captivates an audience because it is removing a sense that you know most people are exposed to.
I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but apparently they came out with a bunch of new titles for Will Smith's
yes!
movies.
I'm so excited for this bit.
You know, do we have any music for this one? Or?
For the names?
Just give us the movie
Getting
review
jiggy
one.
With it.
Nice, okay.
Or that one or the other one, I don't care. There you go. So, I thought this was kind of interesting. So, of course, you know, Will Smith has made many, many movies, you know, in his career.
Yes, he has.
You know, some good.
He's not hurting.
Some bad, you know. They feel like they're going to rebrand them, remarket them, you know, because of what happened last week. So the first one I saw here was The Pursuit of Slappiness.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. You know.
Start on a high note.
And then there's also Slapper's Tail. You know, it's supposed to Shark's Tail.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Slapper's Tail. Yeah.
Slapper's Tail.
I actually liked him in this one, though. I thought his character was really good. But The Suicide Slap or The Slapper Squad.
Yeah, I like the Suicide Slap. I like that.
Yeah.
I forgot he was in that.
Yeah, you know, and of course, Suicide Slap, that's what's going to be happening to his career probably. Pretty soon. and then you have the favorite golf film that he did, The Legend of Slapper Vance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's it. There you go. Yeah. And then you go. You have the other animation film, Slaps in Disguise. You know, Spies in Disguise, so Slaps in Disguise. Yeah, yeah. And then there's a Collateral Slap.
Collateral
oh,
Slap.
Wow, yeah.
Is there a fresh slap of Bel Air?
So, no, that's a little bit later on, though. But then you have, instead of Aladdin, you have A Slappin'.
A Slappin'?
A Slappin'. A Slappin'. and Anchorman 2. I didn't even know he was in Anchorman 2. But they're changing the title of it now. Of course, you know, it's, what's his name's film? Will
Ferrell.
Will Ferrell. Yeah, the other Will. But yeah, Anchorman 2, The Slap Continues.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then you have I Slap, as opposed to I Robot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wild Wild Slap.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a good one there, too. Enemy of the Slap, as opposed to Enemy of the State, right. You know. And, of course, you know, his. You're talking about franchises earlier. You know, you did the Men in Black. Men Who Slap.
Men Who Slap.
I'll tell you what. After that moment, he wishes he had the little forget memory device.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Absolutely.
He wanted you to look in that light.
And then, and of course, one of my favorite first films that he did where he did serious work, where I'm going, wow, he could become a really good actor.
Mm-hmm.
6 Degrees of Slapperation.
Oh, see, I was going to suggest 0 Degrees of Separation.
Yeah.
Right? Because there was no separation.
And this one,
full contact.
Right.
And this one actually doesn't even need to be changed. Concussion.
So, exactly.
You know.
Yeah, I think they should have renamed his TV show to Fresh
Prince.
French of Bitch Slap.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that could work.
The Fresh Prince of Bitch Slap.
Well, that was the joke, right? What did Chris Rock see in the mirror the next morning? Fresh Prince.
Oh, that one's good. I like it.
That's
that was
mine.
Like there was a meme on Facebook that had Will Smith with it on the movie sign for Hitch, and it said Will Smith hit Chris.
The thing that I've been seeing a lot lately on the internet is T-shirts being made.
Yeah, instantly.
Where after Will hits Chris or whatever. And it's saying, was it keep my wife's name out of your effing mouth?
Out of your mouth, yeah.
Oh my God, so many T-shirts now are being made of that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So many.
I saw one. There was a meme, and it showed Jada with a mouth full of hot dogs.
Oh wow. Oh my God. Oh my God.
I don't think she would have been happy about that one.
Yeah.
I know. Good news, new demographic just opened up in the Academy.
Yeah.
There's a spot to smell. Yeah, auditioning some new Will Smiths out there.
Oh, there's a new category, best live action slap.
Yeah, I know. My line was, I can't believe I took under 1.5 assaults at the Academy Awards.
They should start a new category, slap boxing, you know?
Well, see, you know what I was thinking is the producers are going to be under heavy pressure next time out. Because a few years ago, of course, they had the screw up with the best picture. They muffed that, and that became a meme the next day. This year, you have this one.
At least the viewers going down. So
You're right. And so next year they're gonna pull some guy aside and go, okay, we need you to screw up, but make it look like not a screw up. You know, I mean, it's like, how are they gonna? They're gonna say they want to run
hype.
A perfect show, but they're wishing for the news moment. You know?
Well, that's why people watch NASCAR.
Another left turn.
Oh, all right, guys, hold on. Sorry, we got to interrupt, though. We got a call coming in.
A call?
Yeah, we've got a call.
Oh.
Hello?
Okay, hold on a second. I got to get it up.
Right.
There we go. Call's coming in.
Is it?
Hello? Hey.
Hello?
Hey, yeah, is this your weekly dose with Sean and Steve?
Well, yes, it is.
Oh, man, I'm glad to talk to you guys.
Well, we're glad to have you on, but who are we speaking with?
Oh, man, I'm so sorry. I never revealed who I was.
Yeah, so who are you?
Well, I'm the Oscar that Will Smith won for King Richard.
You're the actual Oscar that Will Smith won and took home for King Richard?
Yes, I am, and boy, what a week it's been.
Yeah.
I mean, we have seen all the slap around the world, and, God, for an action star, I'm surprised it was a slap. I mean, when he cocked his hand back, I thought he was going to go Gemini Man all up on Chris Rock. But nope, he only went Hancock.
Okay, well, you know.
That was sad.
Wow.
Yeah, well, you know, when he won me, though, and all those tears started coming down, like, dude, I can't believe he turned into a hitch bitch.
A hitch bitch.
Yeah, he did. I mean, but I'll tell you this, though. At the after parties with Will, man, he was getting jiggy with it, and so much that he even forgot DJ Jazzy Jeff's name. He just yelled out, yo, the guy with the records.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. No, he did that. Really? He did. I heard him. I was there. I was in his hand the whole night. He didn't remember his buddy's name, you know. But all the after party was done. He took me home, put me there on the nightstand next to his bed, and man, I saw things that an Oscar should never see.
What do you mean?
Well, first he put on Aladdin, then Shark's Tales, and then finally Wild Wild West. Yep. Then once all that was done, well, let me just say, I saw the real King Richard's performance. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He was yelling, hey, oh, hey, oh, you know what I'm talking about. But I'll tell you, this past week, though, has been really interesting.
Why is that?
Well, let's just say that not only can you not mention G.I. Jane in the house, but there are many other references that we can't even talk about, like Kochak, Uncle Fester, Captain Picard, Dr. Evil. We can't even mention Mr. Clean or even that guy from Despicable Me. You know, and that was a freaking cartoon.
Yeah.
You know, no longer can we watch X-Men movies because of Professor X. Breaking Bad? Nope. No more Walter White. Any Superman movies with Lex Luthor in it? Out the window. The Matrix trilogy because Morpheus and Cypher? Can't watch them. Any Marvel movies with the Wakanda female warriors in them? Nope. Nothing with the Muppets even, with Slater and Walter involved. Can't even watch those anymore. It's so sad. You know, we can't even watch the Fresh Prince on TV anymore.
Why not?
Well, because the theme comes on, you know, and when it comes to the part of, I got a one little fight, oh, Mr. Smith goes all Suicide Squad on the family. Nope, can't do it, you know. Now I heard that NBC might be changing the title of the show to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Yeah, we said that joke 5 times already, I know.
Prince.
Yeah, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, yeah, we know, yeah. Yeah, just listen to the podcast, really, you'll hear the joke, you know. Prerequisite, I guess. I don't know. Foreshadowing. Go ahead with your line.
Well, now?
Sure.
Okay. Well, you know that Will Smith did apologize on Instagram, and as of yesterday, he's no longer a member of the Academy.
Yeah, well, you know, those two statements Will put out were full of, remorse and regret, and yeah, boy, Bernie, his publicist, can sure write a damn good apology letter, huh?
Yeah,
absolutely. But, you know, if Will is no longer a member of the Academy, I wonder if that means I'll go back to the Academy's office.
That's a really good question.
Well, I say bald is beautiful, and, I mean, after all, look at me. I'm bald, you know? You know, so Chris Rock can make fun of me anytime he wants. I promise I won't even pull out the sword that I'm holding, you know? And after all, there have been many actresses who shaved their head for badass roles, and I'd be proud to be on any one of their mantles, you know? I like being with those women. They're badass. Like, you know what I mean?
Like Sinead O'Connor.
Exactly. Well, Sinead O'Connor, you know. But I wouldn't mind being on Charlize's throne mantle, you know what I mean?
Oh, I do.
Absolutely.
Yes. Gosh, anything else? Or,
no, I'm done. Script's over.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, thanks for calling in.
All right, man. Well, thank you guys for taking my call. I'll let you know what happens later on.
Oh, good.
All right, take care.
Wow.
That went well.
Yeah, sure did.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Should we do the game here?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the new game show that actually told Will Smith to have Bruce Willis slap Chris Rock on his behalf. Then everybody wins.
Boy, that was a long one.
Yeah. Slap me.
Slap you.
Well, there you go.
All right. You got the first five, Steve?
I do. Okay. Question number one.
I like how words didn't even come out of your mouth for that. You were just like, I'm just
Okay. Oh, this is easy. All right.
Oh, no.
What kind of animal is the emblem of the United States Republican Political Party?
Sean. That would be an elephant.
That would be correct. Question number two. John David Rockefeller got rich in what industry?
Sean.
Newspapers? No.
Mm. Awesome. I think it's oil, right?
That's it.
Oh,
Oscar.
I was just about to say that. I was like, junior year history flashback.
Exactly. Going through the mental files. Exactly. That's the
that Rolodex was whirling.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, question number three. Who was the first mailman in Philadelphia?
What? Who would know that?
Oh, well, Oz? Ben Franklin?
That's it.
Gotta
That's
be.
Right, because
famous
he...
famous Philadelphian, right?
Well, not only that, though, but he also created the post office, too.
Oh, yes.
Oh. That's right. That's right, yeah. So he would be the first.
Okay, question number four.
Oz has got two.
What sport introduced the term southpaw?
Sean.
Boxing.
Oz, baseball. Baseball.
Oz got it. Baseball.
If it's not boxing, right. It's baseball.
Okay, question number five.
Could have been badminton.
This one you should get real easily.
I should? Okay. Oh, shit. All right.
What was the signature tune of the Harlem Globetrotters?
Sean. Sweet Georgia Brown.
That's it, baby.
Good one.
All right.
Here we go.
All right. Question number six. What Warner Brothers cartoon characters were the most popular U.S. postage stamp in 1998?
Casey? Looney Tunes?
No. Cannot accept that answer, but you're close.
Caitlin? Tom and Jerry.
That would be incorrect.
Okay. Oz, it's got to be Bugs Bunny, right?
No, but you're close. You're in the right vein, though.
Steve? The Animaniacs.
Animatronics?
Animatronics. Animaniacs.
The Animaniacs. Wow.
Caitlin?
Caitlin?
Daffy, the duck?
No. I'll give you guys a clue, though. They are a pair that is always at odd ends with each other.
Steve? Tom and Jerry.
I said that.
Warner Brothers. Anybody else?
Bugs and Elmer Fudd?
No.
That's not Tom and Jerry.
Nothing comes to my mind. I don't know.
Casey?
Tweety and Sylvester.
That is correct.
There it is.
There you go.
You X'd me for that anyway?
Damn. Wow.
I know it took a long time.
Casey said no.
We went through a lot of cartoons here.
Yeah, we did. And there's a lot of Warner Brother cartoon characters.
Yeah.
All right. Elvis played number six, number seven. Elvis played a double role in what movie? God, this was a bad film.
You played a double role?
A double role in what movie? It was actually filmed in a week and a half, so just so Elvis can get paid.
Ooh.
Because he was broke at the time.
Steve? Kid Creole.
No. Anybody else? Kissing Cousins.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Oh, that was a bad film. That was a really bad film. All right.
Kissing Cousins?
Yeah.
Even the name is terrible.
Yeah.
Who's going to watch that?
Oh, God. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Number 678. Number 8. I think Caitlin's going to get this one.
Okay.
I really do. Elsa, Princess of Andradel, can make... make what at will?
Casey? Ice.
I'll take that.
What was the actual
snow.
Answer?
Ice, frost, and snow.
Oh. I was going to say snow.
She can also bring snowmen
to life,
apparently.
Aren't they all of the same, just different?
It's all water.
Yeah.
It's all water, baby.
She's a waterbender.
She's actually Aquaman.
Ooh. Oh,
my. Ice. I like the waterbender reference.
I was going to go somewhere else. I'm like, no, better not. All right. And question number nine. Charlie Chaplin ate a boot in the movie Gold Rush. What was it made out of?
In real life?
Mm-hmm.
Steve? Beef.
No.
Casey? Chocolate?
No, but you're on the right path, though.
Wow, we have a lot of those ticking timers.
Caitlin?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Us?
Bread?
No.
Licorice?
Yes.
Oh!
Oh my God!
Nice.
Licorice. It was made out of licorice, black licorice.
I was like, chocolate.
I would have rather eaten a boot.
All right.
For real, me too.
Everybody needs to get their buzzer ready because the Oz gettability on this is like very, very high, I feel. All right, here we go. Question number 10.
Okay. Sorry, I jumped the gun.
Well, give us an answer.
Well, can you want to hit the button too? Like question number 10.
Sorry. I was preemptive.
The top United States food consumption days are Christmas, Thanksgiving, and what?
Super Bowl Sunday.
Me.
Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl Sunday it is.
I knew that too because the grocery store, when I worked there, they'd said that their holidays, their biggest holidays were always Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Super Bowl.
And there you go. And that's the show. Hit Oz in the head.
Don't abuse your guests.
Hey, at least I hit something. I keep missing the trash can.
Keep your paper out of my mouth. Something like that.
Alrighty, guys. Well, the show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page, Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram is at Your Weekly Dose 1.
You find me, Steve, on Facebook, Steve Silva. On Twitter, at SilvaLining69.
And just till the end, well, no. The end of this week, I'll be out of jail.
Yay!
So, yeah. KCN Summers on Facebook and Instagram.
I have Instagram, Nia Caitlin Ketstever, and Ketstever Studios. We're currently hiring.
On Twitter, I'm OzDavis42. That's OSDavis42. I don't go on there that often these days because I'm in my basement.
Yay! And if you want to catch me, Sean, on any of the social media, it's simply Sean R. Unplugged. And don't forget, guys, you can listen to us on Delmarva Talk Radio. All of our past shows are done at 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday morning. And also on Live City Radio at noon Wednesday through Fridays. And once again, guys, if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to tell your friends about us because we can't grow this podcast without you. So help us spread the word about the show. Tell your friends, tell your relatives, tell your neighbor, tell your neighbor's dog. Just tell them because, damn it, we dare you. Simple as that. All right, guys, have a good one. We'll catch you guys next week. And as I said before, once again, we'll see what happens in the world of Will Smith, the drama that causes within.
Learn to take a slap, world.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.